Hey, welcome back to the Economics Report. Well, hey, what a show. Former Governor Gary Johnson from the great state of New Mexico talking about how we need to take some responsibility here and address these problems that we're passing on to our kids and our grandkids. Then Bob Moriarty, my good buddy from the Cayman Islands, 321 Gold, and how we can diversify into precious metals and other tangibles in this insane world of fiat currency. And we're going to end our show today with a good friend of Clyde Harrison's, my partner and co-host of this show. His name is Jordan Netburn. Jordan has been a guest on a number of different news outlets, Fox News and so forth. He's with Axiom Capital. Jordan, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Jordan, we've talked with the former gentleman about their worldview, what they see in the U.S. economy, the world economy, and how those who are listening to this show can diversify, protect themselves, their loved ones, hopefully. Give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of kind of your view of the U.S. and world economies, and you know what you're recommending to people to take a look at.
Well, it's a very broad topic to which there's a lot of content, but to nail it, I think the U.S., even amidst what we've been going through, which is a very challenging situation, we're still the engine of the world. China is a third smaller than us. We've always been, and we are the buyer of last resort, so I think fixing the problems that exist here will be the panacea for a lot of the world's ills. The question is, can we go in that direction? We have the dollar. Our currency is the world's number one reserve currency, and there are a number of items which I'll discuss which can protect the client and kind of diversify one's portfolio and protect. But as far as getting the economy jump started, I think that we need in general to move to a more pro-business environment and get that happening on a global perspective. We have other world economies that are really firing on all engines, but we're starting to see some overheating, for example, in China and in Brazil. And if you look at all these world markets and you take a look at the charts, they're saying bear market. So something needs to be done on a conceptual basis. As far as for the practicality of what we can do, obviously, you just mentioned before fiat currencies, which for the average listener are paper-based currencies. And our dear friend Clyde has a funny saying. He says currencies don't float. They just sink at different rates. But the reality is that gold and silver through history, and I think it's important to know one's history, have been the ultimate money. So I think there is an absolute necessity in any good diversified portfolio, notwithstanding current conditions, for one to have gold and silver coverage. We had an enormous move in the gold and silver complex over the last year, and it feels like there's a little breather going on. But again, these are the only they're the only assets in the world to which there are no liabilities against. They are the ultimate money. So if we start to see some more consternation from other world economies, for example, China's rhetoric during the last visit and over the last year, these paper fiat-based currencies, and hopefully not the dollar, are going to see some more rumblings and some more depreciation, and that has been all a boon for gold and silver. So I think it's an absolute necessity that people have exposure to gold and silver. They call silver the poor man's gold. It's much, much cheaper, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a great place for gold as well.
I refer to it, Jordan, as the smart man's gold. You know, we historically have a 16-to-1 spread, you know, 16 ounces of silver per 1 ounce of gold. It got all the way out to 100-to-1, remember that. And I was encouraging people back then to sell their gold, buy silver with it. I don't know where it's at now, probably around 58-to-1 or something like that. So not only have they made money on the silver appreciation, they made money that silver appreciated much more quickly and rapidly than gold. Now, Jordan, you're right there in the middle of the equities capital of the world, New York City, and here you are on this show talking about diversifying into tangibles. I thought that was a Chicago commodities thing.
You know, it's funny that you say, when I first got into the business, it was pretty much a staple, or so I was told, that every account had to have 5% or should have 5% to 10% treasuries, and 5% in futures. And this became a very abstract concept, such to the extent that Wall Street firms completely abandoned their precious metals desks. Obviously, because of the move that we've seen, there's more interest. We see it in the media, but it's something that I've identified, as you have several years back, that this is that was the inception of a bull market, and that continues. And I think that there's a funny saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And that's why I think you see this gold bull market keeps going. And I do agree with you, silver is the smart man's gold. There's a lot of leverage in playing silver. But to directly answer what you're saying, yes, I sit here in an environment where, even though Wall Street's kind of been more spread out and more homogenized, obviously people love and talk about equities all the time. Well, if you had sat in gold and silver last year, you would have done fantastically. And that doesn't mean that the stock market didn't chime in from September through December. But I do think, especially with the vulnerabilities that we see in the U.S. dollar, that it's an absolute necessity to have not just gold and silver, but raw materials slash commodities as well. So you do have a New Yorker who understands that there is a necessity.
Yeah, let's talk about equities a little bit too here, because I think you know both Clyde and I are very, very concerned, Jordan. In fact, I have to say that I'm incredulous as the Dow and the S&P, you know, continue to creep up here. I shorted the S&Ps around 1,200 a couple of years ago, covered down around the 8-something, and I've been waiting to go short again ever since then, and I don't know where to enter in. It just seems to me, Jordan, that we don't have the market determining what's happening anymore. There's so much intervention from my perspective that's going on with the stimulus and, you know, the plunge protection team, if you will, et cetera, et cetera. Do you share that concern, or do you think I'm missing something?
Oh, no, I certainly share your concern, and not just because we're allies. The reality, I think, is that the stock market got a real shot in the arm once this quantitative easing program kicked in September, and you know, seems to have kind of paused right around here. But the natural laws of economics are inviolate. They don't change. You can delay, you can fool things for a while, but eventually they'll out. So I do share those concerns. And the economic laws are the same everywhere. China, Japan, the U.S. Japan has been in a recession for over 20 years. The only difference is they owe themselves the money. We owe everybody else. And again, this point about the dollar being the reserve currency, I think, is a very important thing. We need to do things structurally, such as not spending and reversing that pattern, to keep the dollar on the right path and to exercise fiscally responsible policies. So if we get into more of a realm where we're doing that, I think that we have a more stable footing for the equity market. So I identify with the feeling that you have. You're looking to go short. You feel like there's nothing really there. We look at these economic numbers. We question the veracity of them, and we don't see any economic light on the horizon.
Okay.
And that could be your possible entry.
Okay. Jordan Nutburn from Axiom Capital, appreciate being on the show here with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my friends. Hey, listen, good being with you. And you know what I'm going to say? Have a great day. In fact, while you're at it, have a great life.